It's that time again for StarArmy.com's number one podcast, the SARPcast. And as always, I am your lovely host, the six-shooter of love, Revolver. And with me today is the man of men, the humbug behind the curtain, the guy who makes all the magic happen, Wesley Davis.
Hey, Adam, how are you doing today?
Not too bad. If you're listening to the show, you can't not know who Wes is. He's the head administrator of Star Army, the guy who runs the website, the wiki, and everything else. He's the head administrator of everything that goes on, not to mention the faction manager of Yamatai and the GM of the Yukaris and Freedom Down. Thank you so much for coming on the show today.
They also call me the Bane of Lore.
The Bane of Lore. I've heard there's a lot of flip-flopping that goes on. I think it's mostly just people's what they understand things to be versus how you intend them and just the little mistakes that come out between there.
Mm-hmm. It goes into the tech forum, which is the fire pit of the site.
The armpit.
the burning wasteland.
Well, this week we're sort of continuing on last week's Blast from the Past and discussing the history of SARP. Plus we'll chat with Wes here about the administration of the site and everything that goes into that, and we'll reveal all the secrets on how his life has been stolen by this simple roleplay website. First up, we have our current events, and this week has been a little more active than last. A lot of people are using the Your Questions Answered portion of the site, which has always been a great way of not only disseminating information, but keeping a record of it. Something that IRC has a problem with, and it's easier to just jump on IRC and ask a question, but using Your Questions Answered portion of the site is a much better way of keeping that record, and it's a little slower, but it's a lot better at doing what it does.
I'll tell you why. First, when you're on IRC or you ask somebody one-on-one, like through a PM, you only get the answer from one person instead of everyone being able to have input. The second reason is because, obviously not everyone's on at the same time. You can get people from all the different time zones and stuff, and not everyone goes into IRC, so you get that too.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
The other thing is that you have a record of it, and so you can go and reference it later. Particularly when I'm looking to improve the wiki, I go to the Your Questions Answered post, and I just go down the list of answered questions, and I go and find those answers, and I stick them into articles.
Oh, that's a really good idea. Also, in current events, Nep Leslie is seeing a little bit of a boon in tech submissions. Of particular note are the very awesome rations article and the survival kit. Both really good reads. Even if you're not part of Nep Leslie, I definitely suggest looking into that.
The Star Army also has a survival kit that it's currently in the tech forum. It's the Type 31 survival kit. It's been inspired by Freedom Down. Recently, we had a mission where we crashed, landed on the planet, and we opened up our survival kits, and there's some things we were missing in there, some things we wished we had, and so I've gone and I made the new survival kit that's kind of based on that. In particularly, it includes rations, which is something that the old survival kit did not have. And currently, our survivors on HX-13 are searching for their crate of rations that they dropped out of the ship, and they don't know where it's at right now.
And also because of Freedom Down, I think I'm going to have to make a tech submission for a gunny sack for for the Star Army. Because duffel bags don't make very good sandbags.
Well, we've got a backpack, a butt pack, and a duffel bag, but we don't have a gunny sack.
No.
Nor do we have sandbags, which it seems like it would be kind of a basic thing to have for military.
Well, that's what gunny sacks are also used for. You dump all the shit out of them and fill them with sand or mud or whatever, and use them as sandbags. I definitely want to give a shout out to my man Fian, who recently gave us page 24 of his comic, and as always, it's really funny. I definitely urge all of the listeners out there to go into the members' art, music, photos, and writing forum, and to check out the Fian art thread. It's really good.
Mm-hmm. We need to make a gallery of those on the wiki sometime because they're great.
They are. They're really funny. A little Nep Leslie centric, but.
Ain't nothing wrong with Nep Leslie.
No, I love Nep Leslie. despite what other people may have heard. All right, well, let's get into our discussion topics for this week. First up, we're going to talk about the history of SARP. As Star Army is nearing the end of its 9th year of existence, that's right, 9th, it's been an ever-evolving cavalcade of science fiction and fantasy roleplay. From its inception on the A&E Yahoo chat rooms to today where it exists as its own, StarArmy.com, you can also access it through various sites such as CatGirlRPG.com, SpaceRP.com, RoleplayForums.com, StarNavy.com, StarshipCaptains.com, StarArmy.info, StarArmy.net, and a bunch of other variations on those. Wes, why don't you tell us a little bit about how this juggernaut all got started?
It actually goes back to my childhood, like most psychological problems. me and my brother, we were in a Navy family. We moved a lot. We just had each other to play with. We ended up inventing a sort of our own little imaginary universe, and it was populated by G.I. Joes and action figure mutants and
nice,
vehicles
nice.
And that sort of thing. And it kind of directly inspired later on when I created Star Army, you know, things like Naplesleia, where, you know, there's mostly men. It was kind of representative of the toys. You know, there's not a lot of female G.I. Joes. You
exactly.
Might notice. And the various factions, we used to make like little body armor out of felt and stuff, and like the reds and the greens, and that's where all that comes from.
And there's I remember you telling me that you and each of your brothers had your own, like, army or something with their own logos.
Oh, yes. I had the Wesleyan faction, which had a triangle with a W sort of symbol in it. And then, of course, my brother had a T, his name is Tim, with a star shape, which eventually became the Wesleyan logo. And my little brother, Zach, when we eventually involved him in this, he had a Z and a pentagon. And it's sort of inspired the logo of the Mishu right now. Though Zach's faction was not like the Mishu.
I was going to say, well, there you go.
Yeah,
that's your childhood right there. The Neplesleans, Yamataeans, and the Mishu.
I was introduced to role-playing and to anime by the same guy. His name is Matt Ergel. He's a... he actually lives in Georgia, and he's training to become a pilot.
Oh,
he ran this group. It was a Robotech role-playing game. And I was in high school, and he used to play it during lunch. And he sort of turned me on to all of that.
This is the Palladium Robotech game?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay, cool.
I've recently bought a couple of new Palladium books. I've got the Fleets of the Three Galaxies, which is a Rifts book, which is interesting because it's very similar to the SARP in the ship creation area.
Mm-hmm.
And I got the Robotech source book, or the Macross era source book for the new Robotech Shadow Chronicles game,
mm-hmm.
Which is very similar to the original Robotech role-playing book, except it's a source book for their new version, the Shadow Chronicles.
I gotcha.
I
haven't checked out the Shadow Chronicles stuff. I've got a bunch of the older Robotech books sitting around somewhere, like the Invid source book and the main book, and a bunch of Rifts books too. Yeah, definitely was involved in that kind of stuff too when I was a kid.
I've always been really inspired by the Macross saga and other animes like Nadesco and that sort of thing. And that also has an influence on the early formations of the SARP. You can tell that the early Nekoalkra fleets are very Meltron-like, the female Zentradi.
Oh, you know, okay, yeah.
Billions of disposable ships and soldiers and that sort of thing. And over time, we've had to kind of tone that down. And as you can see, that Yamatai now has a trend where it's more like Star Trek-ish, where there's less ships, but each of them does more.
Mm-hmm.
I first went into online role-playing in 2000, going out to the A&E chat rooms, and at the time, it was just Yui, and it was all about her. It was before the Star Army proper came along, and that's where once I started setting up a site, the first site was just dedicated to Yui as a character, so it was called BloodyCatGirl.com.
Oh, I was going to ask about that ever since James mentioned it last week, bloodycatgirl.com. So is that in reference to her?
The reason for that is because it's all about the hemosynth.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, she would form things out of the blood, and It was all very gross. She was not a good character either. She was very bad.
Yeah, I've found but some of the old RP logs of you playing Yui on the on the
internet. But not as bad as Eve was. Eve was the worst. And to this day, Eve continues to torment people in the as a villain in Star Army.
Yeah,
Miharu has been after her for quite some time.
The Miharu just had a mission where they were after Eve.
Mm-hmm. So as the site grew, more people got interested in it, and I decided to make it into a faction. So I set up a page about the Star Army. You know, Yui's first ship was the Kuroshi, which is a Fushigi no Yumi class frigate. Let's see. the first forum was a Network 54 board, mm-hmm. and we then moved to Easy Board. And about that time...
Is this around the time of New Gen?
Yes, New Gen was created before the Star Army was, and okay. we set up a new Gen site. It was actually on a GeoCities page. Rest in peace, GeoCities. It's closed down, and it is going to disappear later this year. So
yeah,
if you have
in December.
GeoCities sites, I should mention that you should take them down.
It's going to be a pain. I've got at least two sites that I've got to take down all my shit from and make sure it's all archived, and then there's a couple of websites out there that's good info that's going to just disappear. And
oh yeah, I found one on the on Zork. Do you remember the old computer game, text-based? I actually saved all the pages from that to my computer because I thought it was very valuable information. I actually have a Commodore 64 emulator on my computer at work that I use to play that game from time to time still. when there's time available, though. Most of the time there isn't time at work. There's kind of a sweet spot near the end of the year once I fix everything.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, back to the topic. New Gen was the first actual group roleplay, and that started in 2000. And I had about, 8 to 12 players at any given point.
Uh-huh.
And that was my first experience as a internet GM. You see, I had done some Macross and Robotech roleplaying as a GM before. But that was the first time I ever did it on the internet.
So are there any of those 8 to 12 people still around today?
As far as I know, no. I don't think any of them are left. In 2002, I believe it was, that's when I set up StarArmy.com proper, and we moved from BloodyCatGirl.com/GSA to StarArmy.com. The reason I picked StarArmy was actually I was looking at a list of expiring domain names, I think.
Uh-huh.
And I think some Army Navy store had it before. And I thought that, you know, this would be good. And I was like, Star Army, not only is it a great name and you can have a Star Army military, but also, you see, I was in the Army at the time. And I said, well, if it has Army in the name, maybe they won't block it on the work computers.
There you go. It's also nice and simple. I mean, 8 letters, 2, you know, 4-letter words combined, you know, it's really in that sweet spot of having a really good domain name being short, not, you know, being long enough to be recognizable.
Well, eventually Yahoo Chat collapsed, and so it was like, but by the time we had that had happened, we had already pretty much moved off of there. But basically the rooms were full of spammers. It was all bots and stuff. It was very hard for anyone to communicate, and so they closed the ability for users to create rooms, and that was basically the death of Ayani. Mm-hmm. So Star Army became its own site. The first board we had was an Easy Board, which everyone had an Easy Board back then. Easy Board and GeoCities. And
yep.
We eventually moved to PHPBB when we got the StarArmy.com domain, which I think is probably one of the greatest things he ever did, you know. we played on that for quite some time using the original software. You know, there was no subforums or anything. And eventually we upgraded to PHBB 3, which allowed us to have the subforums and such. And the most important thing that I think has ever happened for the website is the creation of the wiki. And what's important about that is instead of me being the one who updated all the pages, I passed the power over to the individuals, you know, members of the site. The benefit of that, of course, is that not only do I not have a huge workload as much as I used to, but it decentralized control a little bit of the Star. I mean, it wasn't just me controlling everything, you know. You had individual GMs, many plots instead of just one. And I think that it really helped a lot.
What was the first, like, plot on the site, if you can remember, that you weren't running?
The first plot that I did not run on the site, I believe, was the YSS Sagi, mm-hmm. or the Celia, which were both early Star Army ships, and Tyler was actually in charge of one of them for a while, the Celia for a while.
Uh-huh. And the other one?
The Sagi plot immediately followed the YSS Yui plot, which was the first Star Army plot, which of course had Yui as the head.
And about the setting itself, like, how did that, what's the history of the setting? Like, it used to be elves and stuff, and now it's, you know, cat girls.
Well, when we first started, because of our freeform roots, it was pretty much a free-for-all. And as we actually developed the setting, then we started to create, you know, like the newer Nekowalkri and the Neplestlians proper. You know, before it was just like he's a human. And we had, of course, you know, elves and trolls and a couple other fantasy elements still in there. Mm-hmm. Once we matured, we had our own selection of species, and so the older races mainly faded away.
And you can still see remnants every once in a while on the wiki looking around, and especially looking into the history of your own characters and... About when did you make the switch, then, from Yui to Hanako?
Well, it's kind of interesting. James, the Kohanian guy, was staunchly protesting that I played Yui and Hanako and Yuko, the pilot, as my mains. And he said they were too overpowered, and I needed to move away from them. And so Hanako hadn't had much screen time before. So I sort of shifted her into focus as the main character, and I moved Yui back into the background as an NPC, and Yuko moved into the background as an NPC. And I had sort of made a promise to them that I wouldn't play any of those three characters, but I ended up making Hanako sort of my main, and two out of three isn't bad, I think.
Well,
and to this day, Yui has only appeared sort of as an NPC. It was just...
And everyone has forgotten about the poor pilot.
yeah, it's true.
That's really interesting. So let me go through some of my questions here. The Mindy, the Sarah, the Daisy, these are all girls' names. Do they have any significance, or do you just like making girls' names into acronyms for your tech?
Well, KFY Power Armors have a tradition of having a five-letter female name. And the Lamia was first, but the Mindy is the one that really cemented that tradition. Uh-huh. And the Mindy is actually named after a girl. There's a girl who came into the operating room that my dad was working at. I think she was 13, Asian. She was basically going to die, and my dad fixed her up. She lived, and he told me the story about it, and I thought that, you know, that sounds, you know, cool. I
mean, that's really sweet. So
I named the power armor after her, because I figured, you know, the Nekowalkri, you know, they're like Japanese teens sort of looking, you know.
Uh-huh. That's very interesting.
And from there, I just continued the five-letter female name trend, because It's easy to make five-letter acronyms that are like that, and I have a lot of great ideas that I still have in my future KFY Power Armors page that you know that we can use in the future.
I see. It's definitely an interesting list, I'm sure. So moving on, let's start talking a little bit more about the administration process of taking care of the site. What would you say, you know, what's like a typical day or a typical week of what you need to do to make sure that the site runs?
Well, the primary thing that I do besides, you know, actually running my plots.
Yeah, besides taking care of your
is
diseases.
I monitor the wiki. Mm-hmm. And how I do that is I have each wiki edit sends out an email, and that email goes to our Yahoo group.
Yeah, I actually received those emails too. You added me to the list of receivers on that.
And each of those emails gets chunked into 25 message digests, and I go down and I look at each wiki edit, and I will, especially what page it's on, mm-hmm. and major pages I pay more attention to, and I check, you know, if somebody edits, you know, the about the setting page, you know, that's definitely going to get looked at. But if there's like 60 edits of somebody's character page, then I'm not going to look at each individual one of those. And you people out there who are listening, I want to say, use the preview function. Do not make 20 edits of your character page in a row, like every 2 minutes. Not only are each of those versions saved on our server as an archive, and it takes up space and the amount of files that we can have, but it also spams the heck out of our mailing list and me.
And me. And it's a pain in the butt.
Usually this happens with like new people who come in and they aren't used to using the preview function. They use all the little edit buttons instead of the edit this page one at the top or bottom. Mm-hmm. And so they only do it by sections, and we get a ton of those. The other thing that I do is, of course, I use the active topics religiously, and I go and I read pretty much everything that's posted on the forums. And a lot of plot players out there, plots that I'm not in, will notice me popping up on their OSC threads from time to time and commenting on things because I'm reading all the plots on the site, you know, not just my own. And I find them all very interesting, too. I should note, too. I think that people are doing a great job, and I'm very interested in their posts.
Any particular ones that you really like to read that you think other people should go out there and also read?
I love the Maharu. The Maharu is one of the best plots on the site, and I love the amount of detail. It does take atrociously long time to accomplish, you know, simple things in the plot, but it's really great. I mean, it's just like, it's the highest quality writing on the site.
Yeah, I've done a lot of reading on the Maharu myself. Last couple of weeks, though, I've been kind of busy, so I've been falling behind on reading plots that I'm not involved in, and even a couple plots that I am involved in. I'm sorry, Luca. I will get back to posting soon, I promise.
And I have to apologize to my YSS Eucharist buddies, because I've been a little slow. I meant to post more than I have been posting. It's just been, I've been being exhausted when I get home lately because it's the first couple weeks of school where I work, and going around and fixing all the computer problems. I mean, I do not sit down. I'm just going from room to room, and our school is a half mile wide, so you can imagine that's a lot of walking.
Well, speaking of which, do you want to tell listeners a little bit about yourself and like who you are in real life? Who is the real Wesley Davis?
I'll only go with a little bit of that because I do have a wiki page, and it explains most of the stuff. So just check out my user page. But basically, I'm a 26-year-old guy. I work as a computer technician at a school.
An elementary school, right?
No, it's a high school.
Oh, it's a high school. I'm sorry.
I live with my wife, Lauren, who's beautiful.
Recently married. Congratulations.
Yes,
again,
we married on June 28th of this summer. And we live in a little apartment with our dog, Zoe.
who you walk constantly.
Yes, you'll often see me posting BRB dog walk in the chat room because, you know, she must be acquiesced to, you know, she has needs and demands, and I'm glad that she signals because, you know, she's housebroken, but at the same time, you know, she does have to go every so often, and, you know, it does interrupt things. For my JP sessions, which I do once a week, and only once a week because Lauren gets mad, because she has to, I ask her to walk the dog during the JP session, so I don't have to leave.
Oh, okay. So which is more demanding, the wife or the dog?
I'm not going to go there.
You're a smart man, Wes. You're a smart man. So before the show, you were telling me some interesting figures on spending on the site.
Yes, Star Army, not only do I run it, but I also provide most of the funding for it. And let's see, it varies from year to year. I have an Excel spreadsheet. I actually keep track of it, so I know how much I'm spending. This year so far, Star Army has spent $715 on art commissions, which is our biggest expense this year. Mm-hmm. And we've also spent, I think, about $350 on our hosting and about $20 on our domain names so far. The hosting was pretty much paid for by our site members. Thank you guys all who donated. Definitely. I think it's really great, and I love you guys. Thank you so much, and I hope everyone got their patches who donated. Though I do need to, I need to send out this new one to Jerry Roberts because I sent one to his old address. It's a military address, and it didn't make it. I got a return to sender on it. So,
well, if you're listening, Jerry, here's your patches on the way.
Well, not quite. I still have it. I have it in his envelope sitting here, and I have his address. I just need to get to the mailbox, and hopefully I'll do that, Monday morning.
Monday morning. All right. Monday morning, it's in the mail.
The Star Army patches, I'm looking back on this image board here. I bought them in 2007, and they cost $170, and I got 50 of them. And I still have a pretty decent supply of them. And what I do is I send them as a reward to anybody who donates $15 or more. It's just as a kind of a courtesy, because I want it to be
really
something
cool
you can touch, you know, that brings Star Army into the real world.
Yeah, exactly. It's definitely
the most expensive year of Star Army was 2007. That was before I moved down here and became poor. we spent... excluding travel-related things.
Star Army has travel-related expenses?
Well, I've kind of... When I go to cons and I advertise Star Army, I also put that...
Oh, okay. You put that as... okay, I gotcha.
But I also put it excluding travel because I know that that's kind of questionable, like whether that's, you know, fully for Star Army. But so with excluding travel, it was
$3,035.78. $3,000? Wow, that's a lot more than the... But we're in middle of August, and it's been, what, $1,000? You said $700 for art and $300 for hosting?
Yeah, $1,588 of that was on art commissions that year.
Oh, wow, a lot of art in 2007.
And $471 of that was on Google Ads.
How is Google Ads working out for you? Because I've dealt with them a little bit when I worked for TapTap, which I found out recently got bought out by LimeLife, so... TapTap's no longer up.
They work pretty well. Mm-hmm. I actually increased the amount of Google Ads that are displaying right now for this period when the school is starting up, because that's typically a period where a lot of people are looking for new role play. Mm-hmm. And so I want to get our name out there. And yeah, I've also created a number of new ads to be displayed as well.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
In 2008, we spent $708.16, and in 2009, so far, it's been $715. I don't know if I mentioned that.
On Google Ads?
on art
Or on art,
commissions
okay.
and on Google Ads. I don't have it on my spreadsheet yet, but
Oh, okay.
it's usually our budget is about, well, you know what? I don't think I'm allowed to mention the budget.
Oh,
It's probably
that's perfectly fine.
the Google Ads terms of service don't really permit you to talk about anything like your click-through rate or
Yeah.
and that sort of thing. But I find that they're fairly effective, you know.
All right. That's Yeah, I kind of would like to discuss it with you. Maybe we'll discuss it off air a little bit. Just because, you know, I had to deal with them too, working for this other company, and so that kind of stuff is interesting to me. Maybe not as interesting to our listeners, though.
Well, one of the things I've tried to do is I've tried to make it so our ads, because, you know, we're a role-playing game, but not really a role-playing game. And so I try to not to make our ads appear on pages where people or searches where people are looking for a like a flash game or a an MMO type game.
That's always the difficulties, right? Especially right now, if you see an ad for a game on a site, you know, is this going to be some browser-based web game? You know, is it a flash game? Is it some game that I can go down to the store and buy, or buy over Steam, or, you know.
Well, the Star Army ads, I try to make them fairly specific, so we don't pay for clicks that we don't that aren't interested. I only want targeted traffic on that, and I am pulling up our AdWords account actually right now.
Can you talk a little bit about what the average time on site is for a click? Or is that part of the.
I can just give me a moment.
Okay. Because previous place of business, our average time on site was measured in like seconds. And I wonder if something like Star Army, which is a different type of site, you know, and the ads are targeted to a different type of customer, whether, you know, we get people to stay on longer, or if there's still a lot of, oh, this isn't what I actually wanted, and they click off really quick.
Well, according to this, for this month, we get 3.5 visits per visitor. We get about 30 something pages per visit. And let's see, each visitor is about 1.6 megabytes. I'm looking
30,
for
30
a.
pages per visitor is pretty, that's pretty significant. So either we've got a couple of people who are spending their time on all the pages, or that the people that are coming are actually spending the time on the site, which is definitely something that is definitely good.
See, as far as unique visitors, it looks like we, this year so far, we've crested in May, and it's pretty steady right now. I find that the more visitors we get, the less they stay around. And what I mean by that is, like, when we were running ads on 4chan, we had a lot of visitors, but they weren't
They weren't
necessarily
sticking around.
targeted traffic. Yeah, so they didn't stay around. Whereas right now we have most of our visitors are regulars, you know, who have known about the site for a while. We don't get as much new traffic as we used to just because we can't afford the advertising.
Yeah, I know. I first learned about the site through 4chan ads, though I didn't actually really visit until there was a thread on 4chan talking about it. But
Interesting
I
fact,
know.
though, we get the most visitors on Sunday.
Really? That is actually interesting. I guess it's because everyone's working during the week or going to school.
Okay, and for I'm actually into my AdWords account now, and I can tell you, let's see, I can give you some of our ads that we're displaying now. Would you like to hear some of them?
Oh, the text of them? All right, give us your favorite one.
Well, I would rather read several. They're very short. I have text-based sci-fi roleplay, play-by-post RP in our original setting, Join Star Army Today, which is, I like it because it's specific. I've also got sci-fi role-playing forums, many active starships and factions in an original player-created setting, and I think that's my favorite one. It's my new one. Mm-hmm. And I've got Captain Your Starship, free original space slash sci-fi RPG running since 2000. Mature. As in that it's developed and...
Because
it's not like a pro-board, it's Naruto site.
Yeah, we don't have a whole lot of... mature plots going on anymore, but I heard back in the day there used to be a lot more of them.
Well, yeah. One thing that I run into recently is Google's ads terms of service do not permit us to have adult content on our website on the same pages that have Google ads.
Uh-huh.
So you'll find that the adult forums are very limited. Like, for one, you can't see them if you're not part of the user group.
And I'm assuming that the Google bot we have isn't allowed to see those.
And also the wiki is not allowed to have any adult content on it.
Is that because of the ads that are on the wiki?
Well, it's not just the ads. It's also just my personal standards. I don't want our site to be a trashy site. It's okay to have, the occasional cuss words and vulgarities and some, references and that sort of thing. But
I noticed there have been things like a certain character's page used to refer to how another character got cloned from remaining DNA, and that sort of story has been changed on the wiki. And the Chrome Egg article has recently been cleansed a little bit, sanitized.
Yes, I did that. Sorry, Chrome Egg fans. I made it kind of vague.
And... that's what I'm gonna start referring to our listeners as, the Chrome Egg fans. A lot of the West quotes that I have are actually revolving around Chrome Eggs and. Hanako's current status regarding her own Chrome Egg.
There's also kind of epic quote that we came up with one night in the IRC, and I can't remember who it was, but somebody said that Hanako effed Destiny, and the explanation, but it wasn't just
Destiny was what she called her Chrome Egg.
No. Destiny was the name of the Lorath Queen.
Oh, that's right.
Which she did have relations with.
Oh.
And it caused an international incident where that's what the Akestans broke off from the Empire and became rebels forever.
Jeez.
Taking with them all the Star Army ships that Lore had been given. And her brother, of course, was insane and.
And now, Star Army listeners, the Chrome Egg fans, we now know why there's so much strife between Lorath and Yamatai. It's right here.
Exactly.
You're hearing
exactly.
The true story and, right here. Now,
what's worse is that the reason that the Lorath prince was so angry was because he wanted to be the first for the sister, and it's disgusting. And they had twins too later on.
Yeah, disgusting, but you are explaining this with glee. I'm just going to point that out.
I'm not saying glee. This
you sound very full of glee right now.
I find it amusingly because it's and you see why the Lorath sometimes irritate people?
People or you?
Okay, being me. the fact that they're rip-off Elysians.
You know what, though? I can stomach the Lorath 500 times more than the Elysians. The Elysians are just like stink of that, like 15-year-old, everyone when they're 15 years old, thinks that the best thing in the world is these winged angel people, and that just the Elysians just really stunk of that sort of like feeling. And maybe it's because I'm twice 15, but you know, the Lorath, at least, you know, they've their wings are vestigial, and they've got a much different. They're basically not angels as aliens, and that's why I find them a lot more stomachable and less of a ripoff of the Elysians.
Well, the Elysians, I think of them as like space Greeks.
Yeah.
They're very Greekish, and that a lot of that is Thomas came along and basically like made them in a whole new species and finally gave them some, you know, substance. Unfortunately, then they kind of collapsed, and eventually we decided it was just best that Yamatai kind of took them under their wing, so to speak.
And they're doing a good job of that now that you've got the NMX taking them out.
Well, there's a lot of background OOC stuff going on with the NMX War that kind of objectives we had as GMs that we wanted to accomplish and I wanted to accomplish, and one of them is
getting rid of the Elysians.
Yeah, we wanted to get rid of the depot fleets for one, which we've done, you know, so now Yamatai doesn't have all those millions of ships sitting around, and we kind of, as a requirement, we decided to put in that we wanted to get rid of the Elysian fleets, and the reason is because they got no players, and you know, there's
I can think of one player still playing an Elysian.
Well, not
Chris,
on an Elysian.
Chris, hold out. If you're listening, hold out on Sarah. She is the last of her kind.
But no, it's not like they're not going to be around, though. We're just taking them off the political stage as a major player.
Well, I don't think they've been a major player for quite some time, but
militarily, though, they had enough ships to be a major player, and the idea is to make it so that they're not. They're more like a race that's a part of Yamatai, and Yamatai is protecting them instead of them being beefy enough to, like, you know, take on.
Is that going
to
be added to the character creation pages and stuff? Is that, and are we going to see more Elysians in Star Army proper?
Well, I'm hoping so. I'm hoping to be more friendly, but at the same time, you, like, as a captain, I know Hanako and other Star Army captains have a bit of disdain for non-Yamatai and non-Neko-Alkari characters.
Yamatai is just so racist, isn't it?
Well, the reason is, like, these dudes can't fly, and they can't do their encrypted telepathy.
They can
and all
fly, they've got wings!
Well, I guess I'll have to give you that for some of the Elysians, but most of them can't fly because it's the it's the plebeian type. But in general, the Neko Walker just do more than the humans can do, and the Elysians are sort of a subset of humans. Just
so does this mean that we're going to see another Species Restriction Act?
I've considered it a lot, but I don't think we will. But the
Because, I mean, there kind of is an OOC Species Restriction Act.
What we have, though, is there's a...
when was the last time you saw a Neplezlian on an SAOI ship?
Well, Tom Freeman on the Naro.
There you go.
We have one on the Eucharist, too.
There you go.
See, but if you actually go to the character creation page and it's like, choose your faction, if you look at Sarmi, he still says Neplezlian... I mean, no, Neweko Alkri and Time Character only.
Yeah, see, that's the stuff that kind of needs to be changed a little bit. I mean,
yeah, it does need to be updated, but
it's the wiki canon, right?
Now, instead of having an army-wide Species Restriction Act, you have a, it's a captain's discretion whether or not she wants to restrict species.
There you go.
So that way, no GMs are imposed upon by that. You know, if they want to go with that, they can. And if not, then they're free to accept whoever they want to. I'm not forcing anybody to do that.
Well, we just hit the 44-minute mark. So let's move on a bit to one of my favorite portions of the show, which is Pimp Your Plot. And it's my favorite because so far, and we're still waiting for the results of last week, every plot that's been pimped has been given a really nice reception. So which plot are you going to be picking for this week, Wes?
Well, it's terribly hard to decide between the Eucharist and the Freedom Down because I love them both so much. But right now, I think I'm going to go with the Freedom Down, and the reason is because it's new, And because the Eucharist has pretty much all the players I can handle on it already.
Well, I'm glad you chose Freedom Down because, like I said, I have been not reading the Eucharist as much this last week, but Freedom Down I'm actually actively involved in.
Now, for those people who don't know, Freedom Down is a plot about a Plumeria-class gunship in the Star Army of Yamatai transporting a bunch of people from system to system. Their squadron gets attacked, they get separated, they get chased like light years across the galaxy, and eventually they get shot down over this forested jungle world. And they've just landed in the trees, actually. A bunch of trucks were hanging around in the trees, and they had to free them last session. And they're getting organized, and they're gonna find a way to get either Star Army's attention or to get off the planet. And what they haven't found yet, of course, is there's gonna be locals there. I won't go into detail because it hasn't happened yet. But and you'll also have the NMXs lurking around. You don't know when they might show up. So it's all very exciting right now, and I think that it's the action level is just gonna continue and continue, and there's lots of potential for action, suspense, drama, prisoners being taken,
Well,
lives
it's listed as
lost.
an 18-plus plot, but not yet. It's still visible now. So, in case you guys are interested, read up while you still can.
Until 18 plus stuff occurs, I'm not going to make it private because I want everyone to be able to, see what's going on
Well, we've had
so
kind of a
far.
rocky start, but it's going really well. I'd definitely say, as a player, I'm interested in seeing where we're going with all of this, and I would suggest. So you're still going to accept players for this plot then, right now?
I will accept a few more players if you want to join. Just send me a forum PM or post in our OSC thread. We can have you
Because I
be
know.
one of the guys who was sucked out of the bay when it opened, or possibly one of the civilians. We put a bunch of civilians in a container, and hopefully these containerized civilians will be found before they run out of air, which is, I don't know if that's likely or not, but.
Well, because I know there was at least one person who was talking about not being able to make a character in time, and so there's still room open. So if you're interested
Yeah,
in
we could
joining
try
Freedom Down.
to fit you guys in if you're thinking about joining. The one thing that should be mentioned, though, of course, is it's a JP only plot, which is it meets on Wednesdays at 8:30 to 10:30 p.m. So if you can't make that time on IRC, at least on a semi-regular basis, then you probably don't want to join. And also that your character is definitely subject to death.
Death and hopefully
Permanent death.
worse. All right, well, moving on. We've next up is Post of the Week. And Wes, what has your choice this week for Post of the Week?
Well, I had an original post of the week, but I can't find it. But I
Uh-oh.
found another equally great post. And the post is from the YSS Miharu on the Mission 3 debrief, where they're referring to Harem J. Wazoo as a celebrity. And not only is he somewhat an OSU celebrity, but he's also an in-character celebrity. And this post has made it official.
You want to
Knighting
explain
the.
that a little bit about who Wazoo
Well,
is and what makes him a celebrity?
well, the post it says is from Knight and Claymere, who's in the Plesley on serving on the Maharo. He says, no, that simply would not do. Maybe for some average everyday citizen. Unfortunately, Harem Wazoo is something of a celebrity back home. His status and position within the Imperium requires us to be more delicate with his delivery, even if he is as socially inept as he is brilliant. And
Now, is this his home in Imperium referring to where the character actually came from, or is this some in-setting
well,
home?
the Imperium is, of course, the Niplesleia.
Oh, okay.
But
So,
he's been around before Niplesleia proper.
yeah.
He's probably one of the oldest characters on the site. And what I thought made this post interesting is that if you do create a character and the character grows in age, they will eventually become famous, I think. And because just of promotions, for instance, Luca Paone has become pretty famous.
Yeah.
Tyler hasn't had any really famous characters, though, even though he's one of the oldest site members because they keep dying. I think he's lost more characters than any other person on the site.
Tyler continually surprises me. Like, every time we play something or whatever, he always pops up with, like, this information that it's like, is that actually how it is? And then I'll look up it in the wiki or whatever, and yeah, that's how it is. And he's just got this wealth of information and setting knowledge that he's an amazing person to play with.
I mean, he's literally been around since the first day of the YSS UERP when he was playing a character who got on the ship from a space station to load some cargo boxes, and the ship, Yui was like, okay, we're getting out of here, and they left, and he was still on the ship, so he became part of the crew.
Oh, man.
Good times.
Yeah, unfortunately, Tyler is without internet right now, so...
Yes, the man is poor.
Come back, Tyler, we miss you. Well, my own post of the week is actually going to be one of your posts, Wes, and this isn't a bunch of dick sucking just because you're on the show, because really, it was the whole thread itself.
Hey, keep the show appropriate.
Like I said earlier, your questions answered forum has been getting a lot of really good use lately, and Osaka's ST technology thread in general was a really good one. There was a lot of
thread worried me a lot.
It what you a lot?
It worried me.
It worried you?
Well, and the reason is, I'm like, okay, what is he planning to do now?
Well, it's that tech that he was talking about before, where he was simulating a brain to determine, to be able to guess what the pilot was going to do beforehand. I don't know if you remember him talking about that before, but it was in one of his submissions.
I remember. He made an interesting little RP post on it, too.
Yeah.
In the cluster flux.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, cluster flux.
Yes, cluster flux.
There goes the appropriate list level.
Have you listened to the previous shows? I don't know. We've kept it mostly clean, but there's, you know, we're adults here. It comes out.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I thought it was a really good post. A, because it's in the Your Questions Answered, and as we said, Your Questions Answered is just a really valuable thing that we have here on SARP. But, you know, post at the end of the first page, you know, where you go through and you list and you know, this is how this all works. It was a really good, like I said, it was the whole thread, well, the whole first page of that thread, let's say, you know, with people talking about, you know, discussing it a little bit, and then you come in and you're like, well, this is how I intend, you know, for things to be.
Well, I think it's really important for not only new players, but old players too, you know, to be able to have a place where they can post and say like, hey, there's information that's not on the wiki, or there's a hole in the setting, and I want you to fill it, Wes. Or they can, if they're looking for something, if they're new to the site, they could just go on the Your Questions Answered post, and we'll get helpful people who have been on the site for a long time. Even if it's not me,
yeah.
You know, there are a lot of people who will come on and they'll explain things or their view of things. Fred's really good at that.
Yeah, we have a lot of good people who, you know, who will answer the questions in there, and you're right, not just you. I'm looking over the list of threads, active threads in that forum right now, and there's you should probably get on that status of time devices thread of Soresu's. That's a really interesting one that I think needs to be answered still.
Yeah, I don't think I understood him exactly when he posted it. I was thinking he was asking if there were time travel devices.
Yeah, that's what it seems like a lot of people thought at first. I was pretty sure, though, he was talking about time dilation, which he, you know, he then posted, and the next hack thought he was asking about time dilation. But no, he wants to know how time is kept in the Star Army and how, you know, they deal with the fact that time dilation exists.
One post
There's Fred's one about what can science officer comm sensor operators do. That's a really good thread.
I love that post, and it's going back to how I used the Your Questions Answer thread to help flesh the wiki out. That was definitely one that I was looking at, and There's an occupation page for each occupation of the Star Army, and every character in the Star Army, which there's a lot of, has an occupation. And I want everyone who plays in the Star Army to be able to contribute to those pages and make it sort of like a knowledge base of combined experiences of all the characters that are in that profession. Mm-hmm. So like the engineers can put their insights, you know, it's not just for, you know, responsibilities of what that job does, but you can also put just personal anecdotes up there, advice for new players. You could put like medical on the medical page, like terminology. You could put, you know, engineering terminology on the engineering page. The most fleshed out type of article that's on the wiki right now is there's the captain's page, which I wrote. And I think that it's probably one of my favorite pages on the whole wiki, which is it's just a complete guide on how to be a captain. And I thought that was, you know, definitely needed for people who are considering becoming a captain in the Star Army, just to familiarize with the whole role of being a leader. So the what is can science officers, comm officers, and sensor operators do thread was great because is a definitely a very legitimate question to say, you know, hey, we got these occupations on the bridge. How do we keep them from being bored? How do we keep them from, you know, just having to repeat what the GM says as far as like sensor readings and stuff? And there's a lot of great ideas in there.
Another thread in there that I thought was really interesting was what is a good range for measurements. And before I clicked on the thread, I thought, I was like, well, what are, you know, what sort of measurements? And then discovering what was inside. And I think that some people have some very humorous posts in that particular thread. Of note, Uso made some funny post. And where was it? Someone was like, ask a girl, and I thought that one was pretty funny. Because in reality, you know, girls don't know their own size any much more than, or and how it's measured any more than most guys do. The statistic is something like 80% of women wear the wrong bra size. It might even be more than that.
I remember one of the first things that we had the sort of ask a girl thing for was on the original character creation guide version 1, which was you know, all web page based. Kim had wrote up a guide for how to determine cup size, which since there's a lot of female characters in Star Army, not all of them are actually played by females.
Yeah. It is something that no, I am shocked. Yeah, and I think that it really provides a lot of humor because really. In most, I would say most players' minds, what it looks like is they don't really, because they don't understand it, you know, and it takes a lot of unnecessary research. You know, it's easy just to copy from somewhere else, which may or may not be correct. But in a lot of their minds, it's a lot of that kind of stuff is like, you know, big, small, really big, thin, you know. A little chubby, you know, hips, well, no hips. Like,
what I wish we had is like a flash-based kind of program where we could just put in numbers and it would just vary the shape of the figure. And then we could just sort of guesstimate, you know, by the shape.
Well, and then there comes in problems where, you know, you've got things. Let me try to remember my favorite character here. My favorite character artwork, because it's pretty ridiculous.
Hanako has measurements that are actually based on a model. I guess I would say she operated a cam site type thing. And
Ika Konpeki, one of Hobo's characters. I love this page, this character page, because the artwork is shows her with some fairly nice sized upper enhancements.
But it doesn't match the page.
Yeah, but she's listed as a B cup, and you know it's uh, from from visually looking at it here, it's kind of more in the, probably in the D, maybe a large C size. But I mean.
Well, Zyro, you know, he gives very reasonable rates and he's very productive. So I try not to interfere with him any more than I have to. You know, I don't.
Well, Zyro
him...
does do pretty good art, and he's definitely the artist of at least the Yamatai side of things.
Well, he likes to draw women better than men, so a lot of times we've had the men done by other artists. I try to give him mostly women, but, you know, men every once in a while. He's good at them, too, but I think that we know what his preference is. Just like with Newton Ewell, who's done some of the mecha art, after doing the Mindy 1H, which was originally supposed to be a Mindy 1F, mm-hmm. I just figured out that... he was a very creative artist, and he's going to basically go his own direction. So I stopped trying to dictate what stuff looks like, especially after the air power armor, where Fionn had basically totally disrupted Newton's jive by saying, no, it has to be like this and XXX. And, you know, and he had already had the light art done, and it just became a huge hassle, and it upset him. So I said, you know what, from now on, there's not going to be any third-party input to your art. We agreed on that mutually. I mean, the other thing we agreed on was, I wanted to give him more, like, creative freedom. And so just with the artists, you got to know their personalities. And stuff may not always come out exactly as you put it on the character sheet just because the artist has that artistic license there.
Well, and there's a difference between artistic license and just plain getting things wrong. I mean, you're right there. There are some times when it's like, well, it says it this way, but the artist drew it this way. I know the new Mishu powered armor suit is looking really well, and that's sort of, I think with artists like that, you kind of have to get the art beforehand. Like, we'll get the art of this suit, and then we'll then we'll design out. Based on this art.
That's completely what I decided to do this time. I said, here, I need a mecha, and I need it to be scary. And here's a couple of ideas I had, and you just do what you want to do, and we'll write the stats afterwards.
Yeah. It's a lot different story when you've already got, you know, some extensive writing on the subject, and then the artist, you know, ignores what's been written. Then it's like, you know, what am I paying for here?
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? If they're not performing up to your expectations, then it's, you know, you wouldn't take a car into a shop that, you know, takes out your water pump and gives you a new water pump when, you know, all you needed was, you know, a system flush, or, you know, you need a new core in your radiator.
Yeah, or if you asked a car shop to put, you know, flames on the side, and he was like, I thought ice crystals were cooler.
Yeah, exactly. If you're not getting what you're paid for, then you shouldn't be paying.
Well, most of our artists have been really great, I think. Going back to... The thread in the YQA. What were we just talking about? The measurements. One thing that I thought was a very legitimate comment in that thread was that David, I think it was, has said that, hey, if we're gonna put it on the character sheet, we should have a page or at least a link that explains how to fill it out. And I think that that's something that we do need to have.
Well, and then I agree with your post about just linking to the Wikipedia page. Or, you know, I mean, it's the sort of thing where there's a lot of math involved, and it really depends on the height, and it should just be, I mean, my own preference would be that, you know, you just take it off of the template, and then if people want to put it on and put the effort into it, then they can do it, but not have it sit there like it's a requirement, because I think that's where a lot of the problems in some of these people are having, is they see it as a requirement. It's something that needs to be on there.
Yeah, it's definitely very optional.
When it really
is. And of course, like for men, you can just basically disregard it anyway.
Yeah. And that's always funny, is when people leave that on. Another thing that needs to be taken off is the Zodiac sign, because that's used even less.
Oh, no, I think that's great. It's a personality thing, and people love it, so.
It just seems to get left off more and more in character. Either left off or not even filled it. Like, put it left on and not even filled in.
Oh, hmm. The one of the other YQA posts that I think deserves mention is the Yoroko one. That's is the wiki canon post.
Yeah, that was that's a good one. Well, and it came from a, you know, from a problem in IRC where, you know, people were like, well, this is how it is, and well, it says this on the wiki, well, that's wrong. Well, you know, if there's no indication that it is wrong or something's been changed, it's really, you know, it's really difficult to tell.
The wiki is the combined repository of SARP world knowledge and what
and
the
opinions.
what the setting is, and in fact it's more permanent and canonical in theory than the forums, and anything
that's
significant
to hear you say.
Anything that's significant that occurs on the forums should be transferred to the wiki so it's not lost.
Because I know there are some people who feel the opposite, and that if it was done in an RP or something, canonical RP or not, then it should be considered more canonical than the wiki, which it seems a bit backwards to me. And I'm glad to hear you say that you agree that things that can
well,
be because not
well,
everyone reads every roleplay, and people
exactly.
get things wrong. You know, We had an interesting situation recently on Senbu where we were talking about how Power Armored was stored, and I know that was a question that eventually got answered. But what we were kind of using, you know, until we found out what it really was, it turned out to be, you know, fairly close. But it's not, you know, it's not because we have it in this RP, you know, whatever we decide in this particular RP that makes it canon. It's you know, discussing it with the community as a whole and putting it up on the wiki, and that's where, you know, that should be the repository for everything that's canon.
Oh yeah, in fact, like for instance, not all the articles on Starships like are the same, or have the same level of detail, and so, for instance, like with the Plumeria class gunship, you have not only the Eucharist in service, but you also have the Aeon. And we had the Urey and a couple of other Plumeria class gunships in there. And we had different descriptions of things like how the engineering works, where the cooling systems are. Mm-hmm. And if we put that stuff on the wiki, then everyone could be on the same page. But if it's only in one RP, then it gets a different portrayal there.
Well, and then there's also the problem that sometimes you're in the middle of an RP and you don't have the time. Like, let's say it's a JP or something. You don't have the time to check on the wiki. So you just use whatever, you know, your best guess is.
Oh, I had
so
a
it doesn't interrupt
good
the
example
flow
of
the RP.
The XSF TIV plot, which is like sort of semi-canon right now, it's being run in the cluster flux, but it's arguably could be a canon RP, and it may actually be moved to the canon later on. But I took the uniform that the prisoners were forced to wear, and I put that as an article on the forum. And the reason for that is, instead of trying to find it on page 7 of their thread, then you know, we could just go and look it up on the wiki now.
Exactly.
And a lot of people were like trying to find that before, and I remember that when it was first brought up, and I made those the new NMX uniforms for the humanoid NMX crew.
The mustard.
Somebody said, "Yeah, the honey mustard kind." People said, "Hey, you know, why didn't you use the uniforms we already made up?" And I said, "Oh, do you
well,
have
where
uniforms?"
Is it? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it wasn't on the wiki, so I had to go and I went and added it. Though, in all honesty, I like the Civil War kind of golden jacket better than the tube top with the
one is like
biker
a
shirts or whatever kind of thing.
One is more of a slave's like uniform, and the other is more of like a trooper's uniform. At least that's how I see it.
I've got one for like the evil bad guy, and I've got one for his lackeys. You know, the field uniforms. You know, the kind of communist looking one.
Though it is sort of strange for a race of jellyfish to make uniforms fit for bipeds.
You know, you might think that they're all, you know, Mishu, but there's a lot of Nekos in that army right now.
Well, definitely, especially with the
and that's
the hybrid
I don't
stuff
just mean,
and
Yeah, not just parasited
Yeah,
ones, but
parasited,
actual
hybrid, and then
manufactured echoes
the
that have been
manufactured ones, yeah.
indoctrinated with the Mishu philosophy.
Yep. They're just as Mishu as the rest of them. All
well,
right.
Somebody asked a question about, you know, on the YQA forum just today about how old is the mental age of an NMX?
Yeah, my man Cyber.
And I said basically, you know, it's, you know, about 16, which is the starting age, mental age of an Echo. And they were like, oh, it's just like an Echo. And I said, yes, it is just like an Echo because they have the same mind.
Exactly. Because they were built by the same people.
Yeah, they have different bodies, you know, but they're mentally they're the same. I mean, the Mishu are Nekos. They're just in different bodies.
All right, well, that's it for Sarpcast Episode 5. And thanks, as always, for joining us. And thanks again to Wes for being here and all his insight into the inner workings of the site and the YQA forum. We'll see you guys again in a week when we'll discuss the new Under 10 forum and Star will share with us Shizuka's closet full of Pride Wing's lost limbs. Yummy. Have fun, and please remember to send us any topics you'd like to see us cover. And as always, remember to vote for SARP once a day, every day.
Whoa.